नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 19 द अपीयरेंस ऑफ सुखदेव गोस्वामी टेक्स्ट 32 परीक्षित उवाच अहो अद्य वयम् ब्रह्मन् सत् सेवयः क्षत्र बन्धवः क्षिप्राय तीर्थि कृपया तीर्थि रूपेण भवद्भिः तीर्थकः कृतः। परीक्षितुवाच अहो अद्य वयं ब्रह्मन् सत्सेवया क्षत्रबन्धव सत्सेव्या क्षत्रबन्धवः कृपया तिथिरूपेण भवद्भिस्तीर्थका कृतः। अहो अद्य वयं ब्रह्मन् सत्सेव्या क्षत्रबन्धवः कृपया तिथिरूपेण भवद्भिस्तीर्थका कृतः। अहो अद्य वयं ब्रह्मन् सत्सेव्या क्षत्रबन्धवः कृपया तिथिरूपेण भवद्भिस्तीर्थका कृतः।
परीक्षितुवाच
सत्सेव्या
Thank you.
Matajis. Parikshit Ubacha, the fortunate Maharaj Parikshit said, Aho, Aho, Adya, today, Bayam, we, Brahman, O Brahmana, Satsebhya, eligible to serve the devotee, Kshatra, the ruling class, Bandhavaha, friends, Kripaya, by your mercy, Atithi Rupena, in the manner of a guest, Bandhava, Bhavadbhi, by your good self, Tirthaka, qualified for being places of pilgrimage, Kritaha, done by you. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The fortunate King Maharaj Parikshit said, O Brahmana, by your mercy only you have sanctified us, making us like unto places of pilgrimage, all by your presence here as my guest. By your mercy, we, who are but unworthy royalty, become eligible to serve the devotee. Please repeat after me. The fortunate King Parikshit said, O Brahmana, by your mercy only, you have sanctified us, making us like unto places of pilgrimage, all by your presence here, as my guest. By your mercy, we, who are but unworthy royalty, become eligible to serve the devotee. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Saintly devotees like Sukadeva Goswami generally do not approach worldly enjoyers, especially those in royal order. Maharaj Prataparudra was a follower of Lord Chaitanya, but when he wanted to see the Lord refused to see him because he was a king. For a devotee who desires to go back to Godhead, two things are strictly prohibited: worldly enjoyers and women. Therefore, devotees of the standard of Sukadeva Goswami are never interested in seeing kings. Maharaj Parikshit was, of course, a different case. He was a great devotee, although a king, and therefore Sukadeva Goswami came to him in his last stage of life. Maharaj Parikshit, out of his devotional humility, felt himself an unworthy descendant of his great Kshatriya forefathers. Maharaj Parikshit, out of his devotional humility, felt himself an unworthy descendant of his great Kshatriya forefathers, although he was as great as his predecessors. The unworthy son of the royal orders are called Kshatra Bandhavas, as unworthy sons of the Brahmanas are called Dija Bandhavas. or Dija Bandhus or Brahma Bandhus. Maharaj Parikshit was generally encouraged by the presence of Sukadeva Goswami. He felt himself sanctified by the presence of the great saint whose presence turns any place into a place of pilgrimage. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishthaṃ Sthapitaṃ Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavāṃśca Shri Rupaṃ Sagrajātaṃ Sahagana Raghunathānvitaṃ Tvaṃ Sajīvam Sadvaitaṃ Savadhutaṃ Parijana Sahitaṃ Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitaṃ Sucha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Taptukan Chana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranam Mami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhubhaye Vacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shibashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki. Aho Adya Vayam Brahman Satsebhya Kshatravandhavaha Kripaya tithi rupena bhavadbhi stirthakakritaha. The fortunate king Parikshit said, O Brahmana, by your mercy only you have sanctified us, making us like unto places of pilgrimage, all by your presence here as my guest. By your mercy we, who are but unworthy royalty, become eligible to serve the devotees. So Sukadeva Goswami came to Parikshit Maharaj when, after being cursed by the Brahmana boy, Sringi, that he would die within 7 days, Parikshit Maharaj was preparing to leave his body in Prayopavishan. Parikshit Maharaj considered that now that the time has come for me to die, let me now prepare myself. For a Kshatriya, it is difficult to find the time to absorb himself in spiritual activities. Their life is very busy, very involved, taking care of all kinds of material arrangements, like establish the law and order in the kingdom, make sure that the citizens are following the scriptural injunctions, making sure that they are making spiritual advancement, making sure that the enemies cannot attack the country, or if the enemies attack the country, then they can defend the country. This way, the life of a king is naturally very, very busy. And besides that, he has all kinds of arrangements for material enjoyment. Because that's the nature of a kshatriya. A kshatriya is a ruling class, he is a warrior. He doesn't lead the life of a hermit or even a spiritual practitioner. In the Vedic time, the society was divided in very specific orders. Like those who are interested in spiritual life, they are brahmanas. They had their specific way of lifestyle. But those who are in the mode of passion, they were given the freedom to lead their life in a certain way. And they are the kshatriyas. And their responsibility was to protect the society. Akshatat trayate iti kshatriya. Kshat means injury, and trayate protects. One who protects the society from being attacked or injured. What is the social injury? The social injury is adharma. The society, human society, is meant to follow the path of dharma. The human society is meant to practice Krishna consciousness, abide by the rules given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now a kshatriya used to see that the dharma is properly established. And it's a difficult job in the age of Kali, in this material nature, it is very, very difficult. And what to speak of the age of Kali? Of course, during Parikshit Maharaj's time, Kali could not spread his influence, but still he was there and he was trying to enter into Parikshit Maharaj's kingdom, which was the entire earth planet. And Parikshit Maharaj was so powerful that Kali could not enter into Parikshit Maharaj's domain. Therefore, Kali's conspired to kill Parikshit Maharaj, get rid of him. Anyway, although Parikshit Maharaj was a Rajarshi, was a saintly king, but he was so much absorbed in administration of the worldly affairs that in spite of being a very advanced devotee, he did not have the time to absorb himself in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, when Parikshit Maharaj got to know that, 7 days and I'm going to leave my body. So he decided, now is the time. So give up everything, prepare myself to die. Prepare myself to leave my body. So this is a wonderful example that a ruler like Parikshit Maharaj, who was so advanced, being protected by Krishna, and in a way Parikshit Maharaj was always questioning. That's why his name was Parikshit. Parikshit Maharaj, although due to his humble attitude, he felt that because he was administrative, he was involved in administrative affairs, he could not engage himself in spiritual activities. But actually, Parikshit Maharaj was always engaged in spiritual activities. He was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness because he was always thinking of Krishna. Is this the person who saved me? Whenever he would see somebody, that would be his question. At the back of his mind, he would think, is this the person who saved, protected me? So this is also another very wonderful example that how one can become, one can remain Krishna conscious all the time, no matter how busy he is. And how can he do that? By always questioning, is this for Krishna? And that is the business of a devotee. Is this for Krishna or is this for my sense gratification? That is the question of a devotee. Whatever he does, at the back of my mind, back of his mind, he has this question. Is this for Krishna or is this for my sense gratification? Because there is a very thin line between these two. Any activity can be either for Krishna, can be executed either for Krishna or can be for one's sense gratification. So that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came to teach, Sankirtan Yajna. That is the special nature of this Sankirtan Yajna. One can use anything for spreading the glory of Krishna. Prior to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what was the natural standard of spiritual activity? Prior to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the natural spiritual activity generally was that if somebody wanted to be involved in spiritual activity, he had to leave home, go away to the forest or mountain caves and become absorbed in spiritual activity. That was the understanding. But after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what happened? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, okay, now let us consider our case. We, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what are we doing? Are we going to the forest? No. Rather, where we are going? We are going to the cities. And what we are doing, we are trying to spread Krishna consciousness. Say for example, the devotees are going, they're leaving the temple and going to the big cities to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Like Ujjain is a small place, small town, very nice, holy place. We have a nice temple here and we have nice deities, we have nice spiritual activities. But many devotees, what are they doing? They're leaving the temple. And where are they going? They're going to Gwalior. They're going to Indore. They're going to Bhopal. They're going to Kota. They're going to Jabalpur. Right? Why are they going there? To distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Why are they distributing Prabhupada's books? Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Previously, three devotees used to close the door, right? Now, why just one devotee is closing the door? The no, they should close the door at the same time. All three doors should be closed at the same time. No one is too busy to serve Krishna. That is our business. We should be serving Krishna, that's our main business. So why are we going to big cities, crowded places? To distribute Krishna consciousness. So that is our business. That is Sankirtan, spread Krishna consciousness. Like a classic example actually was Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and he was retired from home. He left home, he left his family, went to Vrindavan, leading his life in a very peaceful way, writing books. Only from time to time Prabhupada used to go to Delhi. Okay, another thing is that even though Prabhupada had a perfect situation in Vrindavan, what can be a better place than Radha Damodar temple? Next to Rupa Goswami is Samadhi. But what Prabhupada used to do? Prabhupada used to leave Vrindavan and go to Delhi to print books, print magazines, distribute books, preach. Okay, it's understandable. Delhi is just a few hours from Vrindavan. And after that Prabhupada could come back to Vrindavan. He used to do that. Go to Delhi for a few days, come back to Vrindavan. But then Prabhupada left Vrindavan, went to America. Now see, Prabhupada left home to come to Vrindavan. And now he is leaving Vrindavan to go to America. Why? Everybody knows why. Because Prabhupada was not concerned about his own spiritual welfare. Prabhupada was concerned about the spiritual welfare of all the living entities all over the world. That is the preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave us a process, came and gave an understanding that don't worry about your own spiritual advancement. Yes, you practice sincerely, but consider that the important business is to spread Krishna consciousness. Give it to everybody else. Give it to others for their spiritual welfare. But while we are doing that, we should be very vigilant. We should always think that is it for Krishna or for my sense gratification? And when you are serving Krishna, it is not that you have to suffer. We should not think that we serve Krishna, we take care of Krishna's pleasure, and for ourselves we suffer. That is also not the right understanding. Krishna's enjoyment doesn't mean our suffering. Krishna's enjoyment means our enjoyment also. But we have to get properly tuned up, properly understood. Like a wonderful example is, Krishna is enjoying the bhoga, and are we suffering, are we starving? Krishna is, we are offering all the nice preparations to Krishna in the form of the bhoga. And are we starving? No. After offering, it comes back in the form of Krishna prasad. At least ISKCON devotees cannot complain about one thing. That is Prashant. Devotees have half the prasad in abundance. And that is what the temple management also should take care of, that the devotees get nice prasad. Prasad means Krishna's mercy. Krishna offering has been made to Krishna, and then now it has come back in the form of Krishna's mercy. And not only prasad, for everything. For everything. In Krishna consciousness, we can accept everything. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean suffering. Previously, spiritual life was suffering. They had to leave the comforts of their home and go to the forest. Obviously, in forest, life is difficult. You don't have food to eat. You don't have proper place to sleep. And this is how they used to detach themselves. But seeing the condition of the living entities in the age of Kali, Krishna made a special arrangement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a very special arrangement. That arrangement is, you don't have to go to the forest, but become engaged in serving Krishna. To take that life, go to the forest, undergo all kinds of austerities, to detach oneself from material attachments, is difficult. And it needs very powerful individuals to practice that kind of life. It needs very powerful individuals. Not powerful with the physical power, but powerful with the willpower. Yes, they are qualified and they could do that. Their will was so strong. Internally, they were such powerful individuals that they used to resolve and stick to that resolution. That is how powerful those individuals used to be. Like the Pandavas, not even just the Pandavas, even Draupadi. When Krishna left, they thought, now what's the use of us continue to live in this planet? So they left home. And they started to walk. They decided to give up their body, walking. No food, walking. No sleep, walking. Just walking, walking, walking. No rest, no sleep, no food, no drink. Walk till you give up the body. How many of us can do that? Or rather, can any one of us do that? We walk 5 kilometers and think, oh, I've become so tired, let me take some rest. And we walk for another 10 kilometers and say, oh, now let me go to sleep. Or before that, let me have some food. Let me have some prasad. It's already lunch time. Or it's well past lunch time. Lunch prasadam is at 1:30 and now it's 5 o'clock. So enough. Let me just now have a break. Let me take some prasad. And after taking prasad, I'm feeling a little tired. Let's find a place to go to sleep. And that is our condition. But the individuals in other ages were so powerful, especially exalted individuals like Pandavas and even Draupadi. They would just... Draupadi is a woman. And not only a woman, she's a princess. She was brought up in such luxury that we can't even imagine. And she was the most celebrated beauty of the world of that time. But still, she has such willpower. She resolved, my husbands are leaving to give up their body, so let me follow them. Whatever they are doing, I will do that. So they decided to give up their body, I'll also give up the body in Mahaprasthan. And walking and walking and walking non-stop. Until when she fell, just see, she didn't fall, becoming unconscious. Sometimes it happens, people become unconscious, but then they become conscious, and then they carry on with their activities. Like if, say, for example, we are hit in the head, we become unconscious. But after that, when we regain consciousness, we come back to our normal self. But that was not the case with Draupadi or the Pandavas. When she fell, she left her body. Such powerful personalities. So that's why they could practice such processes like meditation, sacrifice, deity worship. But in the age of Kali, we are totally useless. We're completely useless. In this age of Kali, we don't have that kind of ability. Our physical strength is not there. Our intellectual strength is not there. Our mental strength is not there. We have become very weak. Therefore, it is not appropriate, it is not proper to imitate what Parikshit Maharaj could do, what people in the other ages could do. Let us not imitate that. Let us just practice the process the way we are, according to our ability. Like, for example, if a boy, a little boy, he doesn't have any ability to lift anything. But then he sees that there is a big palwan, big, powerful man, and he is weightlifting, 100 kilos, another 10 kilos added, 110, another 10 kilos, 120, and he is lifting that. Now if a little boy tries to lift 100 kilos, what will happen? He'll break his back, right? So when is a boy, let him act like a boy. Or when one is weak after some disease, is it advisable that he goes to the gym and does the weightlifting? Will it be appropriate? No. When he is weak, let him be like, let him take his rest and medicine. So in this age, living entities have become weak. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a very special process. And what is the process? The process is chant Hare Krishna and make others chant Hare Krishna. That is the process. You don't have to go to forest. You don't have to perform austerities, severe austerities. You don't have to worry about anything. Just chant Hare Krishna and make others chant Hare Krishna. So that is Mahaprabhu's gift for the age of this Kali, the living entities of this age of Kali. So that is what is given, that is the process that has been given to the living entities in this age. So, to go back to that main point, so Parikshit Maharaj, he was an extremely powerful individual, and at the same time, he is a very exalted personality. Parikshit Maharaj was a pure devotee. And what is the symptom of a pure devotee? Now this is an important point also to consider, which I was trying to make that it is not that in order to be a pure devotee you have to go to the forest. It is not that in order to be a pure devotee we have to go to the mountain caves. It's not that in order to be a pure devotee we have to stop eating and sleeping. Then what is the criteria for pure devotional service? What is the criteria for pure devotional service? The criteria for pure devotional service is to always remember Krishna and never to forget him. And that is why Parikshit Maharaj was a pure devotee. That is why Arjuna is a pure devotee. Always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. That's why Draupadi is a pure devotee. That's why Kunti Devi is a pure devotee. Always, they're always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. And that's why we see Kunti Devi, when Krishna is leaving Dwarka, leaving for Dwarka, Kunti Devi is saying, Kunti Devi is afraid that now she may forget Krishna. Now that all the comfortable life has come, now that everything has become so wonderful, my sons have become reinstated in their position of power, and Yudhishthir Maharaj has become the king, our enemies have been killed, there is no one to cause any disturbance to us. Now that the life is going to become so easy and comfortable, now I may forget Krishna. That is her apprehension. That's her fear. That now I may forget Krishna. When difficulties were there, when they were, Kunti Devi was in the forest, when Kunti Devi were in with Pandavas hiding in disguise, when she was undergoing so many difficulties, she was not worried because she could remember Krishna all the time. But now that the good time has come, she is afraid that now I may remember Krishna, now I may forget Krishna. So what is the pure devotee's main consideration? That he never forgets Krishna. Now through Sankirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has created a situation like that. Whatever you do, do it for Krishna. And in this way, we have got an opportunity to become pure devotees in a rather easy way, in a very easy way. Whatever you're doing, do it for Krishna. But then again, we have to be very vigilant. Say we are distributing books. Why we are distributing books? Are we distributing books to give people Krishna consciousness? Or are we distributing books so that I can get a big name? Oh, he is the biggest book distributor. Are we distributing for books for name and fame, or are we distributing books to give people Srila Prabhupada's mercy? We are worshipping deities. Worshipping deities. Is it for us or for Krishna? Is it for Krishna's pleasure? Am I worshipping Krishna? Or am I worshipping myself? Oh, I am a big Brahman. Now I am worshipping the deities in the temple. That is what we have to be always vigilant about. That everything is for Krishna, nothing for me. On the other hand, I am watering plants in a garden, giving water to the plants. But if I can consider, if I can remember that these are Krishna's flowers, this is Krishna's garden, then I am watering Krishna's flowers, Krishna's plants, then that becomes devotional service. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Lalita Vishatha Devi Ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki. So ultimately Krishna consciousness is a matter of consciousness. In what kind of consciousness we are doing what we are doing. We are taking prasad. We are eating. But am I eating for my enjoyment, or am I eating to receive Krishna's mercy? So that will determine whether it is sense gratification or devotional service. Eating food, delicious food, nice kachoris, nice gulab jamuns, big feast. But if we take it with the right consciousness, oh, nice gulab jamun, let's see how Krishna tasted it. How Krishna tasted it. Vijayananda made this beautiful gulab jamun. For Krishna, for Radha Madan Mohan, for Krishna Balaram, for Gaur Nitai. They have been so wonderfully offered by Arunaksha. With lot of devotion to Krishna. Now Arunaksha was praying to Krishna, Krishna, please accept these offerings for your, which has been made by the devotees for your pleasure. And now Krishna took it. Let's see how Krishna tasted it. Yes, it was very tasty, but delicious. In this way, we can do everything for Krishna's pleasure. Even eating becomes devotional service. Even watering the plants in a garden can become pure devotional service. Navadvip Chaitanya Prabhu is making sure that the welding is done properly for the Food for Life kitchen. He is supervising the making arrangements for welding, making a building. Right? But for whom he is doing it? There will be a nice kitchen. There will be prasadam made for 25,000 people every day. And those prasadam will be offered to Krishna. And then they will be distributed to the schools for the children. Hundreds of schools. How many? About 1,000 schools, right? No. 120 schools. We'll go to 120 schools. To 20,000 to begin with. 20,000 children. And they'll get Krishna prasad. So for that we need a structure, a beautiful kitchen. And Navadvip Chaitanya Prabhu is making arrangements to build a kitchen. He's building a building with fabricating steels and glass and stone and cement. Devotional service. Why? Because he is doing it for Krishna. Because he is doing it for spreading Krishna consciousness. He is doing it for distributing Krishna's mercy. So this is how every activity can become devotional service, provided we execute it with the right consciousness. Rajesh is buying things all over, comparing the prices. Where he gets the best thing for the best price. People will think, oh, he's a businessman, he's just buying things. But he is doing it for building the arrangements, for making arrangements for rendering devotional service for the devotee, for spreading Krishna consciousness. It's devotional service. So it's not only that direct devotional service, like worshipping the deities, preaching, cooking. Yes, they are more directly related to devotional service to Krishna. But actually in Sankirtan, everything can become pure devotional service. Every activity can become pure devotional service, provided they are executed with the right consciousness for Krishna's pleasure. And what pleases Krishna the most? When Krishna consciousness is distributed. And the distribution of Krishna consciousness is what we are doing for, what we are doing. Everything that we are doing is with that objective. This morning I was thinking, oh, such beautiful Shringar. Yes, the devotees, the pujaris, thank you very much for the beautiful Shringar. The devotee deities are looking so gorgeous, so beautiful. And today, Sunday, so many people will come. How many people come on Sundays to the temple? Thousands of people, especially in the afternoon. And they will see the deities and what they will think. Oh, Krishna is so beautiful, isn't it? They will not think, oh, Amal Bhakta did that dressing of Gaur Nithai and Atmaram did the Shringar of Krishna Balaram, or Arunaksha and Govinda Bhakta did the Shringar of Radha Madan Mohan. They won't think that. What they will come and see? Oh, Radha Madan Mohan is looking so beautiful. And just because they are thinking this way, they will make spiritual advancement. Krishna is so beautiful. Krishna Balaram is so beautiful. Radharani is so beautiful. Gaur Nithai is so beautiful. Their worship is so beautiful. Their Shringar is so beautiful. So just by being favorably disposed, people will receive Krishna consciousness. This is how they will make spiritual advancement. Even when they come and admire the gardens, oh, such beautiful big flowers. We never seen such big flowers. Yesterday somebody was telling me, Ganganaran was telling me. Ganganaran and Bimal Krishna was telling me that people are admiring these flowers, that we never seen such beautiful big flowers.
And whose flower are these? They're Krishna's flowers. And by appreciating Krishna's flowers, they will make spiritual. And what to speak of when they take prasad and say, oh, this prasad is so delicious. Oh, these books are so beautiful. Let me read these books. Oh, Prabhupada's teaching is so wonderful. Let me accept it. So this is how all the arrangements are meant for expanding Krishna consciousness. And that is what we are here for. This is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We give a very simple process, but the effect is very powerful. Simple process, but the effect is most wonderful. Better than any other spiritual activity. So that is the Sankirtan devotee, and as I was saying, Parikshit Maharaj's special quality was that he was always thinking of Krishna. Similarly, through the Sankirtan movement, we also have an opportunity to always think of Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj was thinking about Krishna all the time because he saw one personality who saved him when he was in the womb of his mother. And he was always wondering, is it this person? Whoever he used to see, he used to question. Is it this person who saved? Is it this person who saved? So who Parikshit Maharaj was thinking of? He was always thinking of Krishna. And finally, when Parikshit Maharaj got to know that now I've been cursed, that I'm going to leave after 7 days. Oh, okay. Now let me, 7 days to prepare myself. Now let me quit from everything else and let me just prepare for death. So that when Takshak comes to bite me, I can say, fine, I'm ready, Takshak, bite me and let me go. So that is the attitude of a devotee. I'm ready to go. Whenever Krishna wants me to go, I'll go. And that is a sign of real detachment. Real detachment is not, oh, I can fast for 7 days. I don't need to sleep. I can do this, I can do that. No. The real detachment is, oh, now the time has come for me to leave the body. I'm ready. Anything to look back? No. I'm ready. I will simply look towards Krishna. Nothing to look back. No family, no friends, no attachment. Just ready to go. And the question is, we should always prepare, we should always question ourselves. Am I ready to go? 7 days, I don't know whether how many days I have. So let me be prepared now. If the time comes now, okay, I'm ready. All right. So this is what we have to always question. First question is, am I doing it for Krishna or for my sense gratification? Or for my glorification? For my enjoyment? Or is it for Krishna's enjoyment? And then final consideration is, am I ready? If death comes now, if I have to leave now, am I ready? So this is how we train ourselves. How should we think, oh, we made such endeavor, we built such a beautiful temple, and we have such a, arranged so many arrangements for so many enjoyment. Now I cannot leave. Let me enjoy for another five, six years. Should we think that way? Vrindavan. Because if Krishna made nice arrangement here, and if I continue to serve Krishna, Krishna will make better arrangement there. That is our understanding. If I have a better arrangement, then why should I hesitate to leave? This is, ever since I joined Krishna consciousness, life has become so wonderful. Isn't it? Ever since you joined Krishna consciousness, life has improved or it has become worse. Navadip is shaking his head. Okay, on behalf of Navadip, Priyamrata will answer. Okay. He is giving the double signal. That means, yes, Navadip's life has become improved. My life also has improved. And that is the thing, like if, since we joined Krishna consciousness, our condition of our life has improved, no matter from whatever our background, whether we are rich or poor, whether we are old or young, whether we are strong or weak, whoever we are, our life has improved. No one can deny that. Right, Ganganaran? And it's getting better. Krishna-chan, is it getting better or worse? Getting very much better. So if we stick to this path, it'll get better. So therefore our prayer should be that I can remain in Krishna consciousness even after death. Krishna, please allow me to be in Krishna consciousness even when I leave this body. At least as long as I have this body, I know where I am. But after I leave the body, I don't know where I will go. So Krishna, please allow me to continue to remain in your devotional service, life after life, at least after this life. Krishna, please grant me this boon, that when I die, I can continue to serve. And then you know we'll be safe. If we serve Krishna, life is wonderful. So if I can continue to serve Krishna after this life, then we know wherever we go, the situation will be wonderful. And wherever we are, we can serve Krishna. Even if we have to go to hell, there'll be such a wonderful opportunity to preach. We can tell all those people that, look, you are being punished, you are suffering because you have forgotten Krishna. So chant Hare Krishna. And in the hellish planet, those who are suffering, if they start chanting Hare Krishna, what will happen? They'll immediately become delivered. Or if you go to heavenly planet, we will see that these demigods, because of their so much material enjoyment, they have forgotten Krishna. So we can preach to them, hey, you are just wasting your time in all kinds of enjoyment. So chant Hare Krishna. So wherever we go, wherever we go, we can preach. Right? Whether we go to hell, or we go to heaven, wherever we go, we can preach Krishna. Hey, chant Hare Krishna. Don't forget Krishna. Whether you are enjoying or whether you are suffering, chant Hare Krishna. And in this way, our prayer is that we can continue to preach, we can continue to distribute Krishna consciousness wherever we go. Or another condition can be, say the Jamadutas come at the time of death. So why do the Jamadutas come? Do you know why the Jamadutas come? Because they don't want to leave the body. Therefore, they have to drag them out of the body. Okay, your time is up, now leave your body. You don't want to leave, okay. They put a rope around your neck, around your arms, and pull you out of your body. But just in case the Yamadutas come, we can say, well, don't worry, I'm ready to leave this body. You don't have to put the noose around my neck and tell me where you have to go. Okay, so you want to take me to Jamaraj? Fine, wonderful. I'm going to get an opportunity to see one of the Mahajans. And then we go to Jamaraj and we offer obeisance. Bancha Bandhuta Vibhasantu Praya Vajaya Atitana Only it would be such a wonderful opportunity to see one of the 12 Mahajans, a great devotee of Krishna. So wherever we go, there is nothing to worry about. And if we offer obeisance to Jamaraj, then what Jamaraj will say? He will also say, Bancha Kalpa Charu. Therefore, for a devotee, there is nothing to worry about. Whatever situation he will be perfectly situated. And that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Krishna Chan.
Guruji, you were saying how we should always question whether what happened is for maximum perfection. When the consideration is there that I have to serve Krishna, I have to do something nice and wonderful for Sri Rupa Krishna, then sometimes we may have a particular type of desire to do some particular type of service. It is not for us, but for Krishna. But it is not told to us that this is what we have to do, but still we may develop the desire. Is that, right?
Well, at a neophyte stage, at a less advanced stage, one will have this kind of consideration. I like to do this. I want to do this. But at an advanced stage, the consideration will be what Krishna wants me to do, what Krishna's devotees want me to do. And whatever Krishna's devotees want me to do, I will do that. That is the pure devotion. Any other question? Yes, Archana. She was asking what?
How to surrender, how to remember Krishna.
Yeah, when she is designing, she could think, well, if Krishna was wearing this dress, how wonderful it would look. That will be the perfection. Now I am just making these dresses for these mundane people, materialistic people, but I wish I could do this. This is how, and then she can also design for Krishna. Who is the most fashionable person? So let's design things for Krishna. Actually, one somebody in America, who is a very important person, very wealthy person also. And he is into, very much into luxury and comfort. And once he commented, once he told me that Krishna is the most charismatic person. The way he dresses, like actually no one can dress the way Krishna dresses. Have you seen him dress like Krishna? All this, no matter how big the fashion, how wonderfully those dresses are designed, but compared to Krishna and Radharani's dress, they're just garbage, very unattractive. The Krishna is all attractive, and compared to Krishna, everything totally meaningless. And as I said, like anybody can be engaged in serving Krishna. If one cannot serve Krishna directly like that, you know, not in the association of devotees and doing things for non-devotees, then they can at least in the mind think that I wish I could do it for Krishna. Or if it was placed on Krishna, then this is how beautiful it is. Any other question? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Shri Gaur Premanande.